SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What do you say? Little game time decisions on a Monday night. Kevin Walsh with you here on Sports Grid with the NBA Finals game number 5. Main eventing tonight's card, the Boston Celtics with an opportunity to win their first title since they did on the same date many, many years ago with Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Rondo leading the charge. The Mavericks trying to force this series back to their building for what would be a Game 6 on Thursday. The Stanley Cup Final, we will see that series resume tomorrow as we never get NBA, NHL head-to-head. So we will certainly be picking up the pieces for the Stanley Cup there in just a little bit. We've also got a full Major League Baseball card, which is great to see. A lot of 640 baseball, which also at 640 will feature my MLB play of the day. Why not put that on the board? There's a few other picks that we are going to make for the baseball slate. But Bryce Harper for an RBI at plus 115 is a clear-cut MLB play of the day. Batting third with Trey Turner back in the fold. Randy Vasquez has been destroyed. Destroyed by left-handed batters this season, and Bryce has been good enough against righties. That 275 batting average will take. Double-digit home runs against right-handed pitching could very well be key in this game. Kyle Schwarber in the leadoff hole, that's a lefty. So you've got a really, really nice spot here tonight, I believe, for this Philadelphia Phillies group, and I think the Trey Turner inclusion is a big help there at a plus price. By the way, 9.5 total, nearly minus 200 favorite. Phillies tonight are going to score around what? Let's call it between 4 and 6 runs. Not going to be, if it's 3's about the floor, if we're being realistic, 7, 8, 9, it could be a monster game for the Phillies. This team returns home for the first time in some time. All right, they went to London, then Fenway, then Baltimore. And they're coming off of 2 losses to Baltimore. They're coming off of consecutive series losses to American League East team. So I really like the spot here tonight for the Phillies. I will say it is a great, I think their money line is a great parlay piece. I'll save you one right now. Phil's money line, Luka Doncic double-double. Let's talk some NBA Finals for the people here. And that Luka double-double is actually something that I've considered playing tonight. I actually considered it as a best bet. It is down now from minus 170. Minus 165, I was considering. It's at minus 160 now. Luka Doncic has just 2 stretches all year where he went 3 or more games without a double-double, one back early January and another back in middle November. Luka has gone consecutive games for the first time all playoffs without a double-double. And that now, some of that is... is that fouling out? Is that the blowout? It's a little bit yes, a little bit no. But Luka Doncic has been very timely in his triple doubles. Luka, and it's very wonderful, his ability to hit that triple double when the books have completely given up on it has been absolutely brilliant. The first 3 games against OKC, no triple double. Boom, he closed that series with 3 straight triple doubles. You take a look at what we saw from Luka with the triple-double in game number 2. Coming off of a 1-assist game, they jumped that thing up to 5-1. Boom, triple-double. Now here tonight, same story because of consecutive games without a double-double. I think Luka for a triple-double tonight is a great piece of action, but it makes the double-double then a really nice bet. But I'm not on the double-double yet. Again, I think a nice parlay piece with the Phils. Triple-double, I'll likely make that wager for a little bit of coin. But I'm betting Luka Doncic at even money to lead this game in assists in what I think is just a fabulous price. It is at minus 105 on FanDuel. That is where I bet it at even money. But for a point of reference, that same wager over on DraftKings is minus 180. So right off the bat, we know that we're beating the number. But here's the other deal. Luka Doncic on FanDuel to lead this series in total assists is priced at minus 155. Luka is currently not the assist leader. He trails Tatum by two. So if they think that Luke at minus 155, what is at minimum going to be able to beat Tatum by two, well, Tatum is the next closest assist prop player to Luka. His 7.5, which is a dropping number for the Don. Tatum's is at 5.5, which is still a very strong number for JT. Everybody else is 3 back or longer. And you have a premium Doncic bounce back spot. I'm well aware that Luka, a game assist leader, has not been some type of free money in this series. But it is still a bet. That's why the timing of this is perfect here. An even price for Luka Doncic, who's now gone 2 consecutive games without double-digit assists. But more than that, consecutive games without 8 or more assists. The only time that happened in this postseason were games 2 and 3 against Oklahoma City, and he followed that up with 10 dimes in game 4. Which is, again, why I think that triple-double is very much on the board and why the double-double price is light. I don't mind if you play it straight. I really don't. So I like Luka here at even money for that game assist leader. And I'm also taking a piece of the first quarter over. That number at minus 115 is 53.5. This is a winner in 3 out of the 4 games in this series. This total's been beating me up. We're going to talk about the side in a minute. But the total has been beating me up some. We have this full game 210.5. This series has not provided an over yet, which is remarkable to think about, and where I have been most wrong about this series. I thought that this was an over series. Now, part of why I thought that obviously flashed in Game 4 with the Mavericks getting to 122. A big reason, though, why we don't have a runaway, why the series isn't over, why the Mavericks blowout now has them as the aggregate leader in this series, is the Boston offense has just really not shown up to the party. Three-point shooting's not been great. Give the Dallas defense some credit. So at 210.5, while I'd love to bet what is, I think, now the shortest number we've seen in these finals, these teams both have found droughts that have just crushed your numbers. They just have. And but despite that, we've seen hot starts. We've seen over 53.5, as I said, in 3 out of the 4, with the loser landing 53. And there's been multiple games where that total was completely carried by one side of the court. You know, there was a game where both got to 30, which was obviously monster based on expectations. But I liked starting hot here at 53.5. As far as the side goes, this number's a 7. This is a very tricky spot. The spot screams Boston, right? The Celtics have not lost consecutive postseason games. They have only lost 3 games total. And in the prior instances where they were following a loss, they won by double digits. They covered the number, right? So for the Celtics, and also they're coming off of their worst scoring effort all playoffs long, hitting their threes tonight at a huge clip, putting up 118 and crowning a champion tonight is absolutely on the board. But I've always thought that we could see ourselves a longer series here, despite my full non-wavering confidence in the Celtics winning this series. I thought we could go longer. And I would look to bet the Mavericks on the spread here tonight if I were getting a real number. The Celtics have been booked so strong all year long just to get to the finals and see the shortest numbers on them throughout this postseason. This regular season number would be about 10. We're sitting at 7. So if you made me bet this, the value is on Boston. But I don't love the... I think that Dallas winning a road game is something I always had anticipated heading into this series. Boston losing a home game has been normal throughout this postseason. So if we get a game 6, what does that mean? We'll talk about that a little bit next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back right here, Game Time Decisions, taking a look at the big picture view of this series. And As I said, tonight I'm not on a side. We're on Luka to lead this game in assists, and we're on the first quarter over. But I will tell you this now, and I always use Joe Lisi as kind of the bar for this, of doubling down on a bet you already have, right? And my reference usually was the Mavericks throughout their progression in the Western Conference. I had a Western Conference Mavs future. I would like them I like them against the Clippers, the Thunder, the Timberwolves. I didn't feel the need to bet them in any of those series, right? I didn't need to double down. I already had the ticket I needed. I have a bet on Boston in 6 or Boston in 7. Both of those individual wagers were plus 500, so it basically works out to plus 200 that the Celtics win this series in either 6 or 7 games. If the Celtics lose here, I'm giving you a spoiler. I will be on them in game 6. I will double down. In fact, I will give you my game 6, if it exists, best bet right now, Celtics money line if it's even or better. If it is even or better, that will be my game 6 best bet. While I think Dallas is capable of winning a game on the road in this series, I do not think they are capable of winning 3 consecutive against Boston. And Boston's been brilliant on the road. Now, if that ends up not true because I see something or there's an injury, okay, but I would be stunned if that's the case. I'd be stunned if that's the case. If we get to a 6th game, all of these series leader markets, though, get very interesting, right? If you look right now, all the books have taken off total points. They've left up total 3s. Derek White with a sizable lead now over Luka Doncic. Derek White up by 4 on Luka. That is actually the same amount that he up on Sam Hauser and Jason Tatum. Luka's just completely gone cold. I do think Derek White will end up winning in that market. I actually think Derek White could have a good night tonight from beyond the arc. Total assists is something we've already talked about with Luka being the favorite. If you told the books there will be a 6th game, he would be much stronger than 155. The more time you give Luka to make the comeback, the more the books would believe in him. Then we get to total rebounds, which is a very, very important market for anyone that has been betting alongside me during this NBA Finals. And I did tweet this out already earlier today, but in case you're not on Twitter, I thought it was important to bring this up here now. I bet Derek Lively pre-series at 14-1 to lead the series in rebounds. I made that bet with an eye on hedging. I felt Derek Lively was live. I thought the 14-1 number was completely mispriced, and I thought he'd be in the mix. After game 1 and Derek Lively not doing a lot, the books decided to post a 200-1 price on Lively. About as unjustifiable an overreaction as you could imagine. So I placed that wager. So now I'm in a much different situation than I had ever anticipated because I'm getting Lively at an unimaginable number. Well, Derek Lively is now not only in the mix for series rebound leader, he is the clear rebound leader in this series and a basic runaway favorite. Minus 390 on DraftKings. I'm using DraftKings here because all of my Lively series rebound leader bets have been placed here, and it's the book that is actually pricing him as the strongest favorite. Lively is up 5 rebounds on Luka, 6 rebounds on Tatum, and then you see he's up 11 on Drew Holiday and 12 on PJ Washington. Nobody else is currently with a price in the market. PJ's postseason rebound high is 12, Drew's is 11. That means that they could tie Lively if they hit their high and Derek Lively grabs 0 rebounds tonight. They're out of it. I don't believe that. Oh, and they'd have to still catch Tatum and catch Luka Doncic. Those prices are not worth it. And if anything, I would just say the fact that it is 100-1 number on Drew Holiday goes to show how much of a miscalculation it was when they did post that 200-1 on Derek Lively. Now, I thought, and I was saying this kind of jokingly, that I actually wasn't going to hedge on Lively. Because what's happened with Derek Lively is something that I was hoping could be the case, which is his usage jump up a ton, meaning his minutes jump up a ton. He played 30 minutes in game three and was a very quick substitution in game number four. He only played 22 minutes, but that was actually more minutes than either of the first two games, and it would have been a lot more if it wasn't a gazillion-point blowout. So I actually thought to myself, I'm not going to hedge. He's going to lead the series in rebounds, and this is going to be an incredible hit. As I dove into my Game 5 research, both Luka and Tatum are in huge rebounding bounce-back spots. Monstrous ones. Tatum, for the first time all postseason with less than 6 rebounds, it was coming off of a 6-rebound game. He is in line for double-digit boards. I would bet he's over 9.5 straight if I wasn't already so involved with everything involving rebounds in this series. It is a huge JT board bounce-back spot. And the last time we saw Tatum go consecutive games without double-digit boards was actually round one of last year's playoffs against Atlanta. He got to 14. Tatum has a ceiling rebound game in him. Luka is here now with out back-to-back games of double-digit boards, which has been a rarity for him. And the last time, so Luka had 6 rebounds and followed up with 5. The prior time that Luka Doncic had a single-digit rebounding game was against Minnesota with 7. The next game he had 15. I know Derek Lively was injured for that basketball game, but we also know Luka has a very high ceiling in these markets. And those guys are now both plus 650. Everyone's money is different. Everybody's amounts are different. But at plus 650 for Luka and Tatum, there's just far too much value in hedging that since I don't believe in PJ or Drew. And I actually think that both Luka or Tatum could hit their ceiling. And this is why I wanted to talk about this here. If this series goes 6, now you open yourselves up to what if Lively's injured again? Or what if those guys still playing basically a quarter more of basketball than Derek Lively's too much to overcome? Series rebound leader Luka and Tatum hedges are in. We'll talk baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back right here, Game Time Decisions. The only thing I didn't hit big picture was the Finals MVP conversation. We hit that a little over the weekend, and Coach James Young's right around the corner. We'll hit that there. The only other item I feel it is important I bring up is the U.S. Open. As someone who bet Rory, I bet Rory heading into the weekend, not pre-tournament. But as someone who bet Rory, obviously I was invested in it, and we had the conversation here on Sunday, and I said that I'm not hedging with Bryson because I expect Rory to win this tournament. And then the minus 400, 500 live prices on Rory suggested that was the correct decision. And again, in that moment, I just take the bomb Bryson price and leave it be. And look, all in all, a credit to Bryson DeChambeau for playing great golf and being in the position to capitalize on what Rory did. That is what happened. He capitalized on what Rory did. Rory lost that tournament. I know that stuff sometimes sounds, did the Mavericks lose it or did the Celtics win it? Right? I know that stuff sounds ridiculous. Rory McIlroy missed his first two putts all year long inside 3 feet on two of the final three holes. He shot 4 over on, four of the final 5 holes? I mean, it was insane. It's absolutely insane what Rory McIlroy did. And the lesson I feel that I have learned as somebody who has had tickets on Rory before within the last, 400 days or so, and a lesson that I'm sure plenty of other and more consistent golf bettors have learned and dealt with and adjusted to, is if I bet Rory to win a major specifically and he chokes it away, that's on me. In the same way that I tell everyone who wastes their money on Clippers futures, that when you get to the playoffs and the guy you bet on isn't there, because he won't be, Kawhi, that's your fault. You do not get to go, wait a minute, we would won this series, irrelevant. So I will say And I don't know. Maybe I don't know why it rubbed me the wrong way. I do not feel as if Bryson won that tournament. Rory lost it. But simultaneously, I am not telling you I deserved to win because I bet on Kawhi to stay healthy. When I bet on Rory McIlroy to win a major championship. Will he win another? Maybe. Will I be at the window collecting money when he does? No. We're done. Lesson learned. I learned my lesson with the Clippers the year the Bucks won the title. You know, the one that everybody says they would have won if Kawhi stayed healthy, which is completely irrelevant and has bought that team far more cachet than it should buy any team, anything, ever. I was there as well with a Clippers ticket. But I learned the lesson, and I've not spent a single dollar since on Clippers futures. Everybody else has. People have learned this Rory lesson much earlier than I have. That's on me. I mean, I'm a golf guy, but I'm not a golf guy. You get it. I won't be there at any other point until at least Rory proves that's no longer the case, which is very unlikely. Baseball board squeezing. Don't worry, we'll make it worth your time. MLB play of the day. Bryce Harper for an RBI plus 115. Randy Vasquez, horrific against lefties. It's why we're also taking a piece of Brandon Marsh over 1.5 hits, runs, RBI at minus 105. Marlins Cardinals over the 7. Great number here. Bit of a stunning number here, quite frankly. Sonny Gray has been terrible on the road, and Braxton Garrett is just terrible. But specifically at home, at a 7, great price here to play it over. And then we take Nicky Pivetta and the Boston Red Sox money line at plus 112. Admittedly, I am worried because I tell you I get Kikuchi starts wrong all the time. So that's worrisome. And I'm worried about betting Boston off of consecutive wins against the Yankees. So we talk about letdown spots in football and basketball. They can exist in baseball. And that could be one for Boston. But I thought the price was too good. Kikuchi in a bit of a blow-up spot, Nick Pivetta in a great bounce-back spot, and just comfortably the better pitcher. And quite frankly, Boston at this point in time in the year has the much better lineup. So plus 112 was good for me. Later on the baseball card tonight, look, huge totals with wind blowing out at Wrigley and wind blowing out at Coors. It's just a shame it is not a Tuesday. But we are coming right back here with Coach James Young, and we will hit it all. NBA Finals, Game 5. Celtics Mavericks, plus perhaps the most coherent conversation you will hear around the WNBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid. It's Game Time Decisions. We are live with you on this Monday night. The W card tonight is very light, just one game here with Minnesota and Dallas. But we did have big action happening in the WNBA over the weekend, including another matchup between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Let me get this out of the way. The foul by Angel Reese is a basketball play. Yes, it's a flagrant foul. It is nothing more than that. Anyone who is saying it is, you need to do your best to ignore. They either don't know basketball or intentionally are being ignorant on the situation. It is that simple. Now, the real story of that game is it's another win for the Indiana Fever. And I want to bring in Coach James Young to talk about that because there are some really big picture items, Coach, as it pertains to the Indiana Fever. Winners of 4 of their last 6 games. If the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs. And the books have now have their yes playoff number at plus 102. A few games back, this was well over plus 300. Are you buying into the idea that the Fever are turning things around?
I'm buying it. A couple of things. I'm buying the fact that they've actually had time keyed up to practice. I think people realize the importance of practice. They just think you can just roll a ball out and start playing, you know, especially when you deal with a young team and a point guard and Caitlin Clark. You got to get her acclimated with using the ball, so, and playing with these players. Number two, you and I have said this, and this is why you said it before the break. We're going to actually have a conversation about WNBA because you actually have two people that watch women's basketball and know what the hell we're talking about. Simply put, Indiana's better because Aaliyah Boston is better. That's it. End of story, end of discussion. Because our ability to finish around the basket, to really for Caitlin Corker-Hart to run a pick and roll, which has looked really, really good as of late. Aaliyah Boston, three double-doubles in her last three games. Now that she's starting to go offensively in the post, it opens up Caitlin Clark from three. It opens up Mitchell. It opens up Smith. And their schedule has lightened up. So, yes, they look better. But, Kevin, I think starting this Friday, they got a big, I think, 5 or 6 game road trip. They got to get at least two of them because they're going to play some heavyweights.
Yeah, I will say as well, when you look at, you know, the Indiana Fever have the worst point differential in the WNBA. It is because they have just been destroyed in certain spots. And look, this team's had some insane schedule spots. I mean, just Al back-to-back in Vegas, back-to-back in New York. I will say, though, for the Fever, who are 5-10, they are 5-4 when you remove the Connecticut Sun games and New York Liberty games. They count. They're real. That's the measure of when you're playing the best teams. That also, though, of those 6 games, 4 of them were their first 4 games of the year. We've talked a lot about the Fever's schedule, but truly, I do not think you can overstate how insane of a start this team had. So I guess another way I could even describe this to people is they're 5-6 in their, if you remove the first 4 games of the run, and they lost their 5th game. And there were covers in there. So it's a team that is definitely turning it around. I will say, though, whenever I talk Fever, I am reminded that I thought it was better to play their 23-1 to win the title than the 45-1 that existed on the Minnesota Lynx. What is very interesting to me, Coach, as somebody who was high on this Lynx team preseason, and bet they're over 17.5 win total, no questions about it. And you certainly bought in, I know, at minimum very early into Minnesota and talked up in the air quite a bit. Why do you think the books have reacted so strongly? This team, again, was 45-1 to win the title. JY, it is plus 750 now, which is a massive, massive move in this market.
Well, number one first, folks, Cheryl Reeve is the best coach in the WNBA, maybe besides Becky Hammond. And she's won a multitude of titles, a multitude of different ways with the Minnesota Lynx. Number two, Nafisa Kiley, you got to remember, last year, folks, was her first year back after maternity leave. So she's starting to cook. They play such good defense. And the crazy thing is they're a good half-court team. Their most explosive scorer, K-Dub, is Diamond Miller. She hasn't even played yet this season. I don't think people realize. Diamond hasn't played yet. And Diamond's a bucket. And Diamond can get out of transition and get in passing lane. So this Minnesota team, McBride's been really good. They know how to play together. They are fundamentally sound. They're so well coached. And Kevin, they play defense, and they've had some good wins. I mean, listen, the New York Liberty right now, you could argue, even though they're not the favorite, you could argue that they are the best team in the WNBA. Well, the last loss the Liberty had is to the Lynx, and the Lynx is by about 20 on the road, I mean at home. So to me, they are that good, and they are deserving at the price they get. I just think they were undervalued, and the books have caught up because they thought about the sexiness of Seattle with Diggins Smith and Iwobike playing with Jewel Lloyd. They looked at, obviously, Brittany Griner coming back and Clea Copper going to Phoenix. They kind of looked past them and started looking at some of these other teams in regards to the stars they brought in, but not about how they're going to mesh all together.
Can I ask you about Phoenix quick?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure about this team heading into the year. I know BG ultimately last year got 31 games in. you know, obviously coming back from everything that she came back from. I didn't know what this would look like for her. You know, Taurasi, another year on the legs, Kalia Comper coming in new. Brittany Griner's played 4 games. This team is 3-4 with a win over Minnesota and Seattle, and the only loss was against Vegas. They scored 99 in the game. Maybe there's some defensive concerns, but with Brittany Griner, they look like the best offense in the W by a country mile. And we know Kalia Copper's been incredible. I know it's early, but it's not with the W. I mean, this team's 7-7. You know, are you buying what you're seeing from Phoenix?
Yeah, actually, like, I think Phoenix's team total was like 18.5 wins before the year, and I jumped on it. I'm like, this team's going to be a lot better than that. I think here's the thing, Caleb. When you have a 6'8" center in Brittany Griner, it just changes everything, Kevin. It makes everything easier offensively because you have to always worry about her, and there is no one in the WNBA that can guard her 1-on-1 in the low block. So now you turn around, and now Taurasi is older, so she can't really carry the load. That's okay. They got Kalia Copper, a.k.a. you see her, K-Dub. This girl's a walking bucket. I mean, she's a bucket getter. And now she's got that. And then the underrated signing is getting Natasha Cloud. Natasha Cloud that had a really good run with the Washington Mystics, was really big in that series versus New York last year. She's playing really well. Really quick, just so people can get it before we get the break. Nafisha Collier, over 31.5 points plus rebounds tonight. Dallas plays awesome. No defense. Nafisha gets going. Dallas, team total under 72.5. Arike Wubuwale is out, and this is the best defensive team besides Connecticut and the Minnesota Lynx. Lastly, Minnesota Lynx minus the points. It's a big number. No Wubuwale. Satu Sabli has not played all year. Those are two players, K-Dub, that combined for over 40 points a game last year. They're not going to be able to score tonight.
All right, so some looks there from Coach on the WNBA card. We'll come back, and we'll talk some NBA Finals, get some picks from JY. Also, take a look at that Finals MVP market next right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live with you right here on Sports Grid. The Major League Baseball Board is underway as we have a number of 640 first pitches. Although, why is my board saying nothing started? Is that possible? No, that's not possible. All right, Phillies are about to come up. No juice here, looks like, in the beginning of the Marlins-Cardinals game. Also, and we'll get into this a little bit later, just a quick baseball update for people. Mookie Betts, with a fractured hand, was your MVP favorite in the National League. That is now Shohei Ohtani at plus 180. Mookie Betts, who was underneath 2-1, is back here at plus 3,000. It is very interesting, and we will talk later on in this show with Dave Sharapan about this move here in the NL's MVP market and perhaps where some of the value would be and what you do when a favorite like that does face an injury. We will talk college baseball with Coach, because somehow, some way, that has become what we do on this show with college baseball. Let's talk NBA Finals, though, JY, before we get to that. And before we get to tonight's game, picks-wise and everything, Finals MVP market. Minus 230, Jaylen Brown. Plus 220, Jason Tatum. 14-1, Luka Doncic. And then Jrue Holiday is the only other listed player at 38-1. Do you have any strong feelings on the Finals MVP status and market right now?
It's going to be Tatum. It's going to be Tatum. You know, the only reason why, you know, this is happening is because of his field goal percentage in the first 2 games was god-awful. I think he's shooting about 10% lower than Jaylen Brown. But his points prop tonight is higher. His rebounds prop tonight is higher. His assist prop tonight is higher. And he has a chance to pass him in scoring. Simply put, if Boston wins tonight and you get a 30-10-7 game out of Jason Tatum, I think that's enough to move him and get him the MVP. Kevin, if I'm not mistaken, I thought Jaylen Brown was about minus 270 earlier in the weekend. So it looks like he's already been shaved half a dollar with people coming in with the money with Jason Tatum. So, and then when it regards to taking someone like Luka, listen, number one, Dallas ain't coming back. All right, now, this whole Luka thing is the fact that this would have to go for six games, and you would literally need, like, honestly, K-Dub, back-to-back 35-point triple-doubles in Game 5 and Game 6 for Luka to turn around and take it as the Finals MVP, which hasn't happened since, namely, Jerry West, which we just lost Jerry last week. So that's the only pathway for Luka is two huge games, 5 and 6. Could he do it, Kevin? I think so, but I still think it's Tatum at plus 220.
I will say on the Jerry West Finals MVP losing team thing. I know I did this over the weekend. Zach Edey should have won Most Outstanding Player, and it was a complete disgrace that he did not. Connor McDavid should win the Conn Smythe. He ultimately won't. The difference, though, between those awards and the Finals MVP is the Conn Smythe is a postseason MVP. That is how it is described. And the Most Outstanding Player, even if it's not full tournament and it's just Final Four, still is more than just a singular game. And by the way, Edey was the best player in the championship game, whatever. The very, very difficult thing that Luka has to overcome is this is entirely just based on this series. And while he has still been the best player in this series, again, if nobody is willing to take the time for enough critical thinking to give Zach Edey Most Outstanding Player or Connor McDavid a Conn Smythe, and those are over the course of longer stretches, it's going to be very difficult for Luka. What I will say, though, is I think Jason Tatum is going to win Finals MVP. In no world will I double down on that. I bet it before the series, and I am not betting anything on Tatum twice. Not me personally. If you know, you know. Me and Tatum, we just don't line up when it comes to the betting board. More often than not, Tatum leaves me with a loser. It's just how it goes. And that's why we're all of a sudden sat here with Jaylen Brown at minus 230 to win Finals MVP. I do think Coach is correct, and I think a lot of people agree that if Tatum is 35-10-5 tonight, I'm not sure if it matters what Jaylen Brown does. I'm not sure. I mean, if Jaylen Brown scores 40, all right, fine. But I think I'm trying to be realistic here. I don't know what the bar is, though. You know what? I'll say this, Coach, because then we're going to get to your picks in a bit, because I know you believe Dallas can win this game. So if Dallas wins this game, how do you think that impacts Tatum and Brown's pricing for Finals MVP?
I mean, I think it could make it a little bit more close than even money if Tatum outperforms Brown. I think that's where you're at. I don't think you're going to get more separation if Dallas wins tonight. I think the only thing that can happen is I think you can get closer. The question now becomes, Kevin, is how well does Luka play and how much does he shave into both of them? That's the argument you have to think about because, Kevin, in no right mind can Dallas win tonight if Luka has 25 points. I don't think Luka – Kevin, Luka needs to have a damn near triple-double for them to win. And I'm talking about a 30-point triple-double, a 35-point triple-double. He has to have a monster game for them to win. So if he has a monster game and he leads the series in scoring, he leads the series in assists, and he's up there in rebounds, and let's say if Lively just goes south tonight, if he's up there leading the series in two out of three, maybe all three categories, Kevin, you got to start looking at this. Maybe he shaves it 8-1, 7-1. I think you can make a big move tonight with a win and a big performance.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun to again follow those markets. There is some breaking news, though, around some availability for the Boston Celtics heading into Game 5. I'm sure you can guess that is involving Kristaps Porzingis. We will hit that on the other side and how he possibly can shape things tonight here as the Celtics look to close things out. We'll be right back. It's Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back right here, Game Time Decisions. Kristaps Porzingis has been listed as available for tonight's game. My only issue with that is he was also listed as available for the last game. Now, they said he'll only be used in specific instances, and now tonight they're saying he has no minutes limit. All right, so then play him 40 minutes. I don't know. None of my bets are impacted, I feel, with Kristaps being available. Maybe I'm misguided. What do you think about Kristaps playing in this game tonight?
I don't mean no damn thing. Listen, very simply put, folks, Kristaps Porzingis cannot move laterally. If he plays, I'm Jason Kidd, high pick and roll, back screen lob, go defend it. Go laterally with Luka Doncic and then turn around and sprint back. Cut, sprint back, and defend a lob to Derek Lively. Go ahead and do that. Guess what, folks? He can't. This is gamesmanship at its best. You know what? KP, we're down 3 late in the game. Go stand there in the spot because we think you can knock down a 3. It doesn't impact it at all, Kevin, in my opinion. And I think, if anything, you know, I'm sticking to my guns. One thing I love is I love Dallas. We talked about this earlier tonight or on the phone. Dallas team total over 102.5. I mean, simply put, Dallas scored 101.5. Dallas scored 122 points, folks. Hear me out. And Luka and Kyrie shot 1 of 14 from 3. They're not going to shoot that bad, folks. They're going to be, the leprechaun could be sitting on the hoop. They're going to make at least 2 threes between the two of them. I think they make about 5 or 6 threes between the two of them, maybe 7 threes. By the way, Kevin and I were talking about it before. Folks, I'm sure he's going to go over in the second hour. There is a beautiful market on FanDuel for 3-pointers made per team. I mean, this is great. And folks, there is some plus money lining up there. They don't think there's going to be threes. I don't know what Kevin thinks. I think there's going to be a ton of threes. Dallas team total over 101.5. P.J. Washington, over 11.5 points. He didn't get it last game. Folks, he had 3 fouls early in the second quarter, 4 fouls early third. They never needed him. It didn't matter. Otherwise, besides that, the 9 previous times, he's gone over 11.5 points, 13 being the lowest. He's going to get some shots off tonight because of the fact that I think the lane's going to open up, and then Kyrie and Luka are going to have to kick. Speaking of Kyrie, here's my one that maybe people think I'm crazy. Kyrie over 2.5 made threes at plus money. Why? Listen, sample size, not good. Shooting the ball, not good. I'm just going on my take that as a coach, they're going to be better, Luka and Kyrie from 3. And simply put, Kevin, they are going to back off of them because of no rim protection. So I will go there with plus money, Kyrie Irving to go over 2.5 made threes. And one last one, Daniel Gafford. Yes, I said it. Daniel Gafford. Folks, go shopping around. His points plus assists, or his points are 6.5. His points plus assists are 6.5. So you get free money if he gets an assist. This is a guy that's gone over this in 14 out of 15 games. He's going to get a dunk or two. He'll get an elbow, maybe knock down some free throws. Who knows? He maybe dimes someone up, gets an offensive rebound, kicks it out. Someone hits a 3. Daniel Gafford over 6.5 points plus assists tonight.
All right, little sizzle there on Daniel Gafford. I will quickly say, although I am not on the P.J. Washington prop, that one really stands out to me as a bit of an overreaction from the books. It took them a while to catch up to him in this series. They jumped that number up to 14.5 for Game 3. He landed 13. It was 13.5 for Game 4. outlier minutes game. Why coming down to 11.5? JY, we got to squeeze it in. College baseball, what are you thinking here? Kentucky, Texas A&M, Aggies the favorite.
K-Dub, isn't it amazing how JY knows nothing about college baseball and I've been hotter than fish grease? Well, guess what,
yeah, I'm not
folks?
Sure about that.
What are you talking about? We're 2-0 yesterday. What are you talking about?
We've been checking the tape. We're not so sure about that, but keep going.
Well, go water. Let's go to video. Don't say 30 in my ear. I'm not done yet. I'm saying it right now. Kentucky,
all right,
as the underdog, gets it done tonight. Go Cats.
Nah, all right. I think my breakdown then will be since JY thinks he's hot, he's due to be cold. Texas A&M is our sizzle of the night on the college baseball board. Brian Fonseca joins us next.